You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Ahoy, awesome alliance of alert and adorable attendees. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 25, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your bumbling but barely beastly bunch of brain buffs.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
Barely beastly.
All right, so just a little beastly.
Just a little bit.
Right. Barely. So this is episode 25, and you know on multiple five episodes, we do an all quiz. So today is our fifth all quiz bonanza.
Yep.
And before we start, we just want to say that this all quiz episode is brought to you by Bonobos. Let's all take a sec here and sit back, relax. Imagine if we all lived in an earlier time. Listening to the radio out on the porch on a hot summer's day, the radio spot would probably sound something like this.
It's where you go for brains and style. These pants are magic, they'll make you smile. They fit, such wit, free ship, B-O-N-O-B-O-S. It's a no-brainer for gents to look dapper and sharp. So go bananas for Bonobos. They're smart pants for smarty pants.
That was awesome.
It's a free ship, right?
Yeah. So I actually had to record it about three or four times because I listened. It was perfect, and I listened back. I'm like, yep, this sounds really good. And then I realized that it sounded like I wasn't putting a P at the end of ship.
Yeah.
So it's free ship, everybody.
Yeah. Ship.
Yes.
Shipping.
Pipping.
Old-timey jingles are the best. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's start our all quiz bonanza number 5 with our general usual trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hot Shot.
All right.
Barnyard buzzers ready. And we're back to Trivial Pursuit cards.
All right.
Not from 1984.
Yes, not, yes. Flash forward to modern times again.
Right.
Okay, Blue Wedge Geography. Which of these is not an Ireland county? Erin, Galway, Kerry, or Limerick?
Erin.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am very up on my Irish counties.
Erin.
People don't say that they're from cities. They always say what counties they're from.
County Kerry.
So
county
whenever,
Cork,
yeah,
county,
so any Irish musician I ever see, you know, they always say what city they're from.
So Erin is actually refers to Ireland.
Erin is the name of Ireland.
Yeah.
It's what it's what it sounds like in Gaelic.
All right. Pink Wedge pop culture. On TV's Buffy the Vampire Slayer, what portal to the netherworld is Sunnydale High School built upon?
Is it the Hellmouth?
Correct.
Yeah, right.
Yellow Wedge.
Oh.
Oh, what groundbreaking all-female rap crew had hits with Push It and What a Man? Data.
Salt and Pepper.
Salt and Pepper.
Feet. Spinderella.
Featuring.
Sometimes. She wasn't always there. Not for pushing.
Purple Wedge. What fast food product does The Economist use as an economic indicator?
I went too fast, but I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Big Mac. Mac Index.
Right.
Yes.
The hamburger is used to explain differences in currency exchange rates.
Yep.
Very clever.
We've definitely had that one at Pub Quiz.
Yeah.
I remember.
But it's like one product is this exact same product that is sold all over the world.
That makes so much sense.
Thing.
Green Wedge for science. What organ of the body does a hepatologist specialize in? You know it or you don't.
I might as well take a guess.
Do it.
Kidneys.
Liver.
Close. Liver.
Liver.
Oh, yeah. Hepatitis.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they're exactly.
Yeah. Last question. Orange Wedge. What color is the Y in the eBay logo?
Oh,
Chris should know this.
I know, I stare at it all day. Yeah. Is it yellow?
It is green.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that was hard.
That is, yeah.
Good job, everybody. Thank you, Trivial Pursuit Card. You served us well.
That was a good card.
Good card. Good card.
It wasn't like, who did Jim McGillicuddy star in Caddyshack 3 played Caddy number 5?
Before we jump into the show proper here, we do have a little bit of housekeeping to take care of. A segment that we affectionately call...
Actually.
Yeah, Dana does it so much better than anyone else.
I've said it many times
yes,
in my life.
That's great. That's great. I believe that you believe it. Last episode, episode 24, in a question about Olympic country codes, I had gone over some country codes that were palindromic. Of course, in my haste from transcribing notes to show, I did lose one off the list. So in addition to ASA, American Samoa, CRC, Costa Rica, URU, Uruguay. There is also IRI, of course, for Iran. Did not mean to leave them off. That was entirely inadvertent. IRI.
Awesome. Oh. And it is our all quiz. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. Okay, here's a little quiz that I like to call Not Really Foreign Food.
Chop suey, chow mein, tofu and you. I've got a feeling tonight that will be pretty clever if we ever get together with chop suey, chow mein, rice and tea.
Shoes and rice and you and me.
Chop suey, chow mein.
Young one, tofu and you.
So this started. I was thinking about this because my fiance Regina, we were playing a game of Scattergories once. I put one of the categories in Scattergories was ethnic food. Letter was O.
Uh-huh.
So I wrote down orange chicken, and she voted that it was, that was wrong.
Meaning like that it was not really authentic to the country it claims to be.
Exactly. Now I said, okay, well, it said ethnic food, but either way, this got me more thinking about ethnic foods and, like, you know, the distinctions between, like, Italian-American versus Italian. Mm-hmm. And so what you guys are going to do is I'm going to give you the name of the food, and you're going to tell me basically if it is people came to America and developed it in America, or did they develop it in their country and then
brought it
to American cuisine.
I'm still trying to think ethnic foods that start with O.
See, it was a tough round.
Okonomiyaki.
That would have been good.
All right.
So here we go. All right. Let's start off with one. General Tso's chicken. Karen.
Actually Chinese.
No.
No.
Invented in New York.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But they have it in Chinese restaurants.
Yeah, it went back to
It's like China. A back formation.
There's a Chinese name for it.
It does. It certainly has its origins in other dishes, but yeah. Let's go with sushi rolls. Rolled sushi. Colin.
I'll say authentic.
It is, in fact, authentic.
I'm still not confident about my answer.
The California roll, which has, like, avocado in it, was, of course, invented in California by a Japanese, you know, or a Japanese-American sushi chef who realized that the avocado would actually be a good substitute for fatty tuna, because they're
so
very
rich
similar
and creamy.
In terms of texture and taste. Yeah. Let's talk about eggplant parmesan. Is eggplant parmesan part of Italian cuisine, or is it Italian-American cuisine? Who wants to just stab in the dark?
Yeah.
American.
It is from Italy.
I am horrible at this game.
He's tricky.
Well,
he's very
a couple
tricky.
Of questions.
Yeah. I feel like he's in our brains or something.
How about nachos? Were nachos, were they created?
I believe nachos were created here, and in fact, I think I've been to the restaurant that claims to have invented them in California. So we'll see here.
The story, in fact, is that they were invented in a border town right in Mexico, where a lot of, like, U.S. Army type people were stationed, but it was actually created in Mexico. Mm. And the chef, who says that he created them, his nickname was Nacho. He, like, threw it together for them, and they were like, what is this? And he's like, oh, it's Nachos Especial, you know?
So it's named after a person.
Yes.
That's cool. Didn't know that. Mr. Nacho.
Now, again, so many of these things, other people claim that they did it, but like these are the more most commonly accepted stories. Cioppino.
Is that American?
Yes.
It's San Francisco.
It was created by Italian-American immigrants in the North Beach or Fisherman's Wharf area of San Francisco. Now, again, it comes from an Italian word, but the you know, with like the type of soup, but the actual dish that we know of as cioppino was fundamentally like made in America. Kung Pao chicken. Karen.
Yeah.
actually Chinese.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We knew one of these.
Kung Pao yeah. chicken is actually Chinese. Yes. In fact, so it is named after a guy, a certain figure, a person, and Kung Pao is a horrible mangling of this name. And I'm not going to try it. Yeah. So a lot of places, when that guy fell out of favor politically, they started just calling it like spicy chicken with spices. Or yeah.
Freedom fries.
Yeah, right. Precisely. Yeah. Calzone.
Well,
I'm going to say authentic.
It is. It is, in fact, Italian street food. How about chimichangas?
That's just like a fried burrito,
it
right?
It is like a fried burrito, yep. Karen.
I'm going to say American because we love deep frying stuff.
We sure do.
Accidentally invented by a chef in Tucson. Yeah, she accidentally dropped a burrito in the fryer. The story is, and this might be too good to be true, but she said the burrito accidentally went in the fryer, and she started to say a very bad word in Spanish that starts with shit. And instead of saying that, she just said chimichanga, which means thingamajig, or something like thingamajig.
That is a really good story.
It is a great,
I hope it's true.
Yeah, it's probably not true. And
If you had a deep fryer, you would have a burrito in it.
Right. Oh, no, yeah.
She fried all sorts of things. That was just the successful
one. Yes, you got to be fried.
Oops.
Yeah.
So, okay, so the final question. The fortune cookie. Was it invented? Was it invented in China or was it invented in America?
America. I'm going to say America as well.
You are all incorrect.
No!
The fortune cookie was invented in Japan. The answer is no. It wasn't invented or China nor America.
Well, that's a weird question there.
Yeah.
So it's not authentic Chinese.
So they're actually called Suji Ura Senbei. They look exactly like fortune cookies. There's like woodblock etchings of them. They still sell them in temples where if you go to Japanese temples, they give you a paper fortune. Mm. So they sold you the cookies, which are the same shape, except for the only thing they did was they put the fortune into the crook of the cookie instead of putting it in the hollow part of it. Mm-hmm. And again, like there is documented, backed up, like woodblock etchings from the 18th century predating. Now, the thing is, two of the people who said that they first started serving them in America, one of them works in the Japanese tea garden in San Francisco in the early 1900s. And then there was another person who said, no, I was the first one to serve them fortune cookies. And he said, I was inspired by the cookies that they sold at temples. And so, interestingly enough, fortune cookies were originally in America part of Japanese cuisine. And at some point, it transferred from Japan to China. And actually, what I read, and I'm not entirely sure if this is true or not, it's hard to kind of gauge, but it's like when the U.S. government started interning Japanese immigrants, there was nobody left to actually make fortune cookies, you know, who wasn't like in an internment camp. So that's when the Chinese were able to get in and start making them. I cannot verify that, but it is absolutely true that fortune cookies.
My eyeballs are gonna fall out of my head. That's crazy.
Right, because typically what people think is they were made in America.
I'm trying not to say
make every other vowel sound. You.
Sometimes why?
Yeah.
It just sounds creepy.
All right, I have a little quiz here that's the kind of thing that I personally love, which is about celebrity names. So, you know, we love the kind of quizzes of, you know, stage names to real name or matching those kind of quizzes. The focus of this quiz is about mononyms. So people who are famous with a single name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's even more specific than that. So, you know, there are a lot of classic people like Bono from U2.
Sure, yeah.
Paul Hewson is his real name, but Bono is not really his real name at all. Sting is Gordon Sumner. Those are a couple throwaways I'm going to give you right there.
All right.
Okay. I'm talking about now about people who's actually used their real given birth names.
Okay.
So the way we're going to structure it is we're going to start with some famous first name celebrities.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you their last names.
Got it.
And you see if you can tell me the first name.
Okay.
And we'll start with a one that I think that you guys will know, just so you can sort of see how this goes.
Madonna.
So, the first last name, if I were to say Ciccone, you would say...
Madonna.
Madonna, exactly. Yes, her given name is Madonna Louise Ciccone.
Now that that's out of the way.
All right, yes, all that's right. Why that was first for a reason.
Exactly. Flush it out of the system.
Yep, yep, yep.
Here we go. Right. So again, I'm giving you their last names. Sarkeesian.
What?
Oh, man.
Chris.
Cher.
That is correct.
Sherilyn Sarkeesian.
Sherilyn Sarkeesian.
Good yes, job!
Yes, a good famous one for Cher. Now, this is actually interesting. In the course of researching this, she now is saying that she may think that her given name may actually be Cheryl, and that there was some sort of mix-up between getting the name out and putting on the birth certificate.
Whoa.
So it is either Cheryl or Sherilyn, but either way, Cher, her given name. Yeah. That's right. All right, here
we go.
I'm
not going to change the poster.
You have
now at the Palazzo.
Oh, I thought you meant... Your share posters in your bedroom, I thought you meant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I will mark her in the wire.
Nelson. Dana.
Prince.
Dana.
Prince.
It is Prince. Yes, that is his real given name. Prince.
Prince Nelson?
Prince yeah. Rogers Nelson.
This is hard.
All right, next one. Here we go. Goodman's daughter. Oh. I think you guys both. I think Chris was first.
Bjork.
It is, in fact, Bjork. I sort of learned this in looking at traditional Icelandic names.
Yeah.
It's one of those cultures where you go by a single name. So even though, you know, we would say that her last name is Gudmund's daughter, like in Icelandic culture, she is just Bjork, whether she's formal, informal, whatever it is,
it's
right?
Like Thor.
Samuel. And I can give you this one, a little tricky. I can give you a longer name here.
Okay, all right.
All right. So blank Henry. Olusegun Olumide Adeola Samuel. Dana.
Is it Seal?
It is Seal. Huh. Yes.
His first name is Seal?
His first name is Seal. Huh. Seal Samuel. Yes.
Seal Samuel.
Seal, Samuel Seal Henry. Seal Henry Samuel. Or that was his fuller name with the Yoruba names in there as well. It yes.
Seal Samuel.
Hanson.
Beck.
It is
oh,
Beck.
Yeah.
He's gone by Beck Hansen for his whole recording career. He was actually born Beck David Campbell. Beck with no C, B-E-K. So a little bit of a stage modification.
Weird.
Yes, Beck
name.
Campbell, now Beck Hansen. Hmm. We're going to switch it up now. So these are people famous by their given last names.
Got it.
I will give you the first and middle names to make it a little bit easier here for you. All right. So again, I'm looking for the last name. Stephen Patrick blank. Karen.
Seagal.
No. Stephen Patrick blank.
Spielberg.
No.
Wait, I'm just
again, these are members. These are people
Stevens.
Named
yeah,
by a
Stevens.
Single name. Mononym.
Right, right, right.
Mononym. Stephen Patrick. He's a singer of a very famous British band. Stephen Patrick Morrissey.
Oh.
All right. One more here. Waju Valentino blank. Wladziu. It is a Polish name. Waju.
Oh, it sure is.
Valentino blank. The middle name might be more of a clue to the ethnicity of the name we're looking for. Dana. Single name.
Oh. Versace.
Oh. No.
Oh, it's on Tip of Karen's tongue.
Liberace.
Yes! Liberace. Yeah. Liberace. Yes, the son of a Polish mother and an Italian father. Yes, that's right.
I was doing so good at the beginning of that quiz, and then just
all right,
fizzled
we'll,
out.
We'll close out
map.
With this
yeah.
super, super easy throwaway here, just because it's one of my favorite ones here. Galilei.
Galileo.
It is, in fact, Galileo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Galileo Galilei.
Galileo Galilei. And that's famous mononyms.
Hey,
there we go. Oh, that was kind of hard, huh?
So last week when we were talking about the Olympics and I talked about the mascots, like it reminded me of Muppets. And then I was like, I know a lot about Muppets. I was like, I think that should be my tribute.
All right.
So, the Muppets.
The Muppets.
It's time to put on makeup. It's time to dress up right. It's time to get this started.
Why don't you get me started?
I always dreamed we'd be back here.
Dreams? Those were nightmares.
It's time to get things started.
So for the youngins, Muppets, so like, we got some reviews from people who like hearing about the olden days of the 80s.
So, the olden days of the 80s.
Before I was born.
We're going to blow your minds.
In the days before computer graphics, we had to make our fanciful characters out of cloth and sticks.
Yeah.
When I was your age.
We didn't have PlayStation 3. We had an old sock. We liked it.
Just to kick it off with a really easy gimme, the term Muppet was coined by whom?
Jim Henson.
Jim Henson, right. Yes.
Yes.
So he said that that word was a portmanteau of two words. What is Muppet?
Manual puppet?
No.
No, it's
that
something.
Sounds a little bit too clinical.
It's not as it's something and puppet. Something and puppet. Sure.
Yeah. Magic?
No.
We have an answer from our studio audience.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh,
she said mop and a puppet.
It's not a mop and a puppet. I give up.
Marionette and a puppet.
Marionette and a puppet.
So the voice of Kermit the Frog was performed by Jim Henson and then Steve Whitmer. Kermit was also voiced by what famous voice actor in Muppet Babies? Mm-hmm. And this guy comes up a lot for us.
Oh.
Frank Welker.
Yes.
Yeah. He's everywhere.
I am this podcast's foremost expert.
Yeah. All right. Well, Chris.
He's also a good answer to every question about who voiced this character. Yeah.
So in the 1979 The Muppet Movie, Kermit performed what song? It was an Oscar-nominated song.
It's The Rainbow Connection.
Okay. Yeah. Can you complete the following lyric with
yes.
The...
Maybe.
Someday we'll find it, a rainbow connection.
The lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Yes. So speaking of Muppet music, who was the house band on The Muppet Show?
Dr. Teeth and the Electric Man.
That's right.
Can you guys name three members of the band? Karen?
I only name one.
That's all right.
We'll each name one.
Animal. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Floyd.
Floyd what? Do you know the full name?
We gotta know Floyd!
I feel like the other ones only have one name, but you picked the one who has, like, a longer name.
Floyd
so need
T.
To...
Puppet.
Sergeant Floyd Pepper.
Floyd Pepper.
It was like a mix-up of Pink Floyd and Sergeant Pepper.
Good. Anyway. Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, there was Dr. Teeth, of course, but that's kind of a cop-out. What was the girl? What was the girl? Janice. I was like...
They also had Lips and Zoot. What Muppet wrote a New York Times best-selling book that was a guide to life?
Huh.
It's got to be Miss Piggy.
It was Miss Piggy.
she's the only one who's diva enough to write a Guide to Life book.
So the Muppets were also on Sesame Street, so I have to ask some Sesame Street questions.
Of course.
All right. So Sesame Street's main protagonist, Big Bird, starred in what 1985 movie? And it was probably one of the most depressing and scarring movies I've ever seen. What was it?
The movie is called Follow That Bird.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes. These children
Some
cry.
Things cannot be unseen.
Big Bird just gets lost and sings songs about how he misses his family. Yeah. Yes. Oh, God. So sad.
Yeah, it's just a festival of melancholy. Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah.
That's the worst festival.
Why did I buy a ticket to this festival of melancholy?
So in 2011, Sesame Street introduced a new Muppet named Lily to raise awareness about what social issue?
Oh. Yeah. Was Lily HIV positive?
No.
I was gonna say that as a joke.
They had an HIV positive Muppet. Yeah.
But, really?
Yeah.
This isn't it.
Yeah.
2011. There was a new. She was to teach kids about food insecurity for children. Like she never knew when her next meal was gonna come, and this was like one in four kids has experiences food insecurity.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to end it on a happy note. They have some really awesome, funny names for Muppets. I'll give you the clue, and you guys figure out what the name is.
Okay.
And I think you can figure it out.
All right.
All right, what would you call a sheep detective?
Sheeplock Holmes. I don't
know.
Basil. No.
Whoa, Basil Rathbone.
You guys,
what is
I
it?
I give up.
Columbo.
Columbo.
That's really cute.
That's
dear Sesame Street. Would like to request you change name Sheeplock. Of Columbo.
That's great.
To either A, Sheeplock Holmes, or B, Basil Rathbone.
What would you name an operatic flamingo?
Placido Flamingo?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. All
right.
That's good.
Woo.
Yay,
that was good.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right, my turn, I believe. And this one's a little bit different. So my quiz segment is a blend of trivia and very light riddle solving. And I'm going to call it Mash It Up. Mash it up. So in this segment, I will be reading out a riddle. And what's important is the format of the answer I'm looking for. So the riddle will clue to two answers, and the two answers share a word. So the last word of the first answer is the same word as the first word of the second answer. So, a little bit confusing.
All right, I quit.
And I'm out.
For example, if I say, what liberated whale owns a magical chocolate factory?
Free Willy Wonka.
Yes!
Okay, all right. Okay.
So now I got a little taste. He's got a lot of faith, and a lot of gold medals.
George Michael Phelps.
Correct. Very good. All right. These are also, they all sound so silly. Okay.
This sounded so good when I was writing it.
What is Mad Men's Joan Holloway's favorite brand of alcohol?
Christina Hendricks gin.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Very good.
Yeah.
This might be my favorite one. Who sang the song, Do You Really Want to Hurt Sulu?
Oh,
Colin.
Boy George Takei.
Yeah. Okay. Who was Cleopatra's boyfriend who starred in Top Gun?
Mark Anthony Edwards.
Correct. You're very fast.
Yeah. She called, actually, her pet name for Mark Anthony was Goose.
Yeah.
Trivia. All right. He rocks in the treetops all day long, most likely in the Sherwood Forest.
Rockin' Robin Hood.
Correct. God, this is ridiculous.
Oh, great.
What is Tina Turner actress's favorite dog breed?
Oh, my God.
I hate you.
Angela Bassett Hound.
Wow.
You guys would be so happy. I'm laughing. I'm just getting a lot of groans. We're going to end on this one. May this American historical writer with gorgeous and well-moisturized hair rest in peace.
Somebody herbal.
I mean, it's something about shampoo. Johnson, some shampoo brand. Johnson. Yeah. Oh, what is it?
Gore Vidal Sassoon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, if you guys are groaning, I'm going to give you more to groan about.
That was a good one.
I want to share some of the failed ones.
All right.
The failed ones
maybe
I have
we'll
to
get these.
I have to ask because well,
maybe we'll get them.
They're funny, but the thing is, they don't technically share the same word.
Oh.
So I didn't use them technically.
Because they don't technically follow the rules I set forth. Yeah.
The cheese that you just want to give it away now.
I believe that's Red Hot Chili Pepper Jack.
Yes.
Is what you're going for.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like Red Hot Cheesy Pepper.
I see. But it's peppers. Yeah. Right.
So the question is, who lives deep in the 100-acre woods? Who enjoys Asian appetizers?
The Winnie Pooh Poo Platter. Yeah.
That would have been fine.
Yeah.
That would have been fine. So there you go. Mash up.
Great. That was funny.
That was good.
Angela Bassett Hound. Good.
Well, let's take it into a little bit of a geography, world knowledge kind of quiz that I've put together.
Yes!
Yeah, it's a little bit of a grab bag. We're going international for this one.
Whoa.
Here.
Flying first class.
Bienvenidos.
All right, we'll start off close to home here in the U.S. And this one may just be a speed contest, see who buzzes in first.
Man.
What is... No. I think this is a language one. Mm-hmm. What is the only letter of the alphabet that does not appear in the name of a U.S. state? Every other letter is represented in the name of a U.S. state except... I think that was Karen.
Q.
It is Q, yes.
There's a Z, Arizona.
Mexico.
New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So one of the oft-repeated fun facts about Disney World in Florida is that it is basically the same size as San Francisco. And in fact, this is true. It is actually slightly larger than the city itself of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So leaving that aside, I'm going to give you three places, and I want you to put them in order of square mileage. Hmm. So they are Disney World, the country Liechtenstein, and Bermuda, the island of Bermuda. I want you to put them in order from smallest to largest.
I'll go with Bermuda, Disney World, Liechtenstein.
Correct. Oh. Yes.
If you're Liechtenstein, it would be a little bigger than 7 miles by 7 miles.
Bermuda is 21 square miles. Okay. Liechtenstein, Disney World is 47 square miles. Yeah. And Liechtenstein is 62 square miles. Mm-hmm. So not much bigger.
Just a skosh.
The international dateline. So you guys know it's the line that runs down the Earth, which separates the calendar days from the other, okay? Mm-hmm. So, and it's pretty much opposite the prime meridians on the other side of the world. Now, it doesn't go straight down because they kind of try and have it not break up countries. So the international dateline is kind of zigzag as it goes down the Earth. What is the first country on the international dateline to experience a new day every day? And basically meaning, what is the easternmost part of the international dateline? What country? Chris.
Russia.
Incorrect.
Oh!
New Zealand.
Close, but incorrect.
Samoa.
It is. I'm going to give you partial credit for Samoa. It is actually Kiribati, which is very close to Samoa, but runs just enough further east that they get it before Samoa does.
So Kiribati is the first.
Kiribati.
Earliest country.
Yes, the Line Islands in Kiribati see a new day before any other country.
Right. Wow.
Hence the saying, hey girl, is it tomorrow? Because you've got a Kiribati.
What?
That's top.
That's a
shelf.
Good pickup line.
That is
Chris.
Top shelf.
Wow,
that's a good line. That's great.
True story. That's how you got your fiance. Right?
That is. I started dating. Right. Yeah.
The Southern Cross is a star constellation, and you can see it in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
It is featured on the flags of five countries. Mm-hmm. Now, four of these countries are Commonwealth countries, and you see it on a lot, like Australia and New Zealand. The Southern Cross, the star constellation.
Darn it!
Those were the ones I know.
Yeah. So I want you guys to tell me the one that is not a Commonwealth country. So there are five flags. There's Australia, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, Samoa. Uh-huh. All those are all Commonwealth countries. What is the other country where you can see the Southern Cross constellation featured on the flag?
I'm going to throw this out there. Maybe I'm wrong. Is it Brazil?
It is Brazil. Okay. Yes.
Oh, it's there's a little... Oh, yeah.
It is.
I don't know what the flag looks like. There's a line in a James Taylor song, Only a Dream in Rio, in which he talks about the Southern Cross.
So it is. If you look on the flag of Brazil. And yes, it has several constellations on there. And the Southern Cross is the one basically right in the middle. And if you look at it, it really does form a cross shape.
Ooh.
So I've got one more quiz for you guys. And it is called Superheroes I Just Made Up.
You're the Spider-Man. Sling us a web tonight, 'cause we're all in the mood for a hero now, and there's evildoers to fight.
There are many words in the English language that end with the letters M, A, and N, so I will describe the superhero, and you will tell me what that superhero is, and of course, the superhero's name is going to be just a word in the English language that ends with the letters.
That is fun!
I think I understand.
Now, a lot of these, it's going to be like the letters M, N, N are there because that means, it actually does mean man. For example, if I were to say, I'm going to give you the tagline off of this superhero's comic book that I see. If I were to say, he'll make your head ring, it's Spellman.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right.
And of course, the answer does not count unless you say it like Spellman.
Enthusiasm is part of the correct answer.
Exactly. Right. Yes. Okay. He fights for truth, justice, and saving bachelors from how to learn how to use an oven. He's
the woman. Oh, the foreman.
Beware his pipe cleaners and tacky glue.
Craftsman. Sorry.
Hey, can you help him find the dining hall? It's
the freshman.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. His secret power, relaxing on a group of tropical islands owned by the British.
Jamaica Man.
Oh! Bahamian.
No.
Oh.
That
was good. Oh. That was good.
Cayman.
Cayman Island. Oh.
His eyes shoot beams of sauerkraut.
German.
German!
What? Beams of sauerkraut? I like they have to have special sauerkraut goggles to cover it.
He's three balls of ice cold fury.
The snow.
He's snowman.
Yes!
Yeah. So dumb.
It's one for you, 19 for him.
He is, of course, the tax man.
Yay!
Yes, in spirit of the late George Harrison.
Yes.
Oh, that's why Beatles.
We're like, what? Oh, my face hurts. So, it's good. Oh man.
Remember when all quiz episodes were about facts?
Yeah. We're a little loopy in this
break,
one.
Break the mold.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
So I've mentioned before that in honor of our sponsor, Bonobos, that I wanted to do a quick, weird animal reproduction mini segment because everyone knows I love talking
about doing it.
Yep. Yep. Love talking about animals getting freaky. So I'm going to call our last segment Getting Freaky. So in this segment, we're all going to share some of our favorite animal sex facts. We've mentioned before, bonobo is not only fun to say, but the term refers to a species of apes that are popularly known for their high levels of sexual activity. And unlike, say, your chimpanzees or other similar primate communities where outsiders may be treated in a really hostile and aggressive way. We've seen like kind of like footage of chimpanzees being angry.
Very territorial.
Yep, yep, and ripping people's faces off. So the bonobos are extremely and extraordinarily peaceful. Probably most likely due to the heavy and abundant amount of sex they have. Mm-hmm. And in their society, sex functions in appeasing conflicts and fights. When they're excited, they have sex. When they're stressed, they have sex to reduce stress.
They talk about them. I mean, they're an animal that's almost moved past violence. They talk about
it. It's kind of amazing. Mm-hmm. Yep. Actually, sex happens in virtually all partner combinations. And also a large...
No judgments.
No judgments.
Yeah, no.
Also happens in a large variety of positions.
Do it bonobo style.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It's love.
It's so beautiful.
So last week I talked a little bit about the echidna, which was an Australian mammal that was one of the Olympic mascots in 2000. Echidna kind of looks like a porcupine or a hedgehog. It's spiky. And it's the only other mammal besides platypus that lays eggs. The male echidnas have a four-headed penis.
That's awfully ambitious, if I do say so myself.
Not just two, but four.
Yeah.
When they're reproducing, basically two go inactive, and then two go into the battle, and then they basically like switch off during the mating process.
Like a WWE tag team.
Yeah.
Yes, with itself.
With itself.
So, so the male echidna is not having sex with four other female echidnas, one.
Just the one.
But he comes with his own backup.
Impressive.
Right,
that is really unusual.
I feel like now everybody's going to go Google image search that.
I bet if you just type in echidna, it'll autocomplete penis. It'll autocomplete penis.
Because
what?
They're not interesting in any other way.
Right. Well, I was looking into a little bit into eagle mating. And this is a fact I had heard before and just wanted to kind of get a little bit more clarification on. So the eagles have a really interesting mating dance. So this is before the actual mating takes place. They will fly up in the air and they have like a mating cartwheel is what it's called.
Oh, cool.
So they will sort of dive and swoop at each other, the male and the female eagle, and then they will grasp talons. So they're it's like they're holding hands, aww, you know, and their talons are grasped and they're spinning and they will plummet and kind of twirl around and they break apart at the very last minute before they hit the ground. Yes, it doesn't sound evolutionarily advantageous.
No.
But this is how they do it. And this is part of the cartwheel mating dance that they do. And this is, then they'll break apart right before they hit. And then if it's a successful mating ritual, they'll go and do the actual deal.
They won't die on the ground.
Well, I found an article from a couple years ago, actually, an AP article. Just, they found in Valdez, Alaska, they found two eagles that had slammed into a snowbank because they didn't disentangle in time.
Yeah.
They were able to bring the female to a bird treatment center, but unfortunately the male eagle died.
Oh.
So it's a serious business, this mating dance. And yeah, they're moving at really high speeds if they don't separate in time.
Well, Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah,
maybe they need the adrenaline to get going.
to get turned on. It's like a game of chicken or eagle. It's a game of eagle. Yeah.
Sexy eagle.
Right. It's a game of sexy eagle.
The old sexy eagle.
So I don't know about you guys and your animals that are just going around engaging in mating rituals all the time, but the animal that I looked up, the giraffe, is much more discerning about who he mates with, because the male giraffe will only mate with the female giraffe if she is in heat, if she is in ovulating, right? And otherwise, he will not even bother. Now,
typical male giraffe.
Am I right, ladies?
so basically, no, he just won't even bother. He's like, well, we're not going to have kids, so I mean, why are we even doing this? And it's like, yeah, just no sense of excitement. So anyway, how do you tell if a female giraffe is in heat? Well, as it turns out, if you're a male giraffe, is you go up behind her and you bump her butt with your head, which causes her to pee in surprise.
No.
And then you get yourself a good mouthful of urine and drink it. Again, I'm not suggesting that you, my fellow podcasters or listeners, do this. I'm saying you are a male giraffe. And because different hormones and et cetera inside of the urine when the female is in heat, he switches it around in his mouth and
he can smell just based on the chemical levels.
Just based on the taste, basically. And if the urine tastes good, he's like, okay, I guess we can make some baby giraffes.
So how often is he checking? Like, I wonder how many times is he right?
Every 10 minutes. Pretty much.
They never want to mate, but they always want to drink your urine.
Right. That's why you think it's so cool to be a male giraffe. Like, oh, you can eat the really high leaves and stuff like that. Like, I don't know, you guys probably thought the same thing.
All the time.
Yeah, all the time, Chris.
Yeah.
But then as it turns out, you got to do a lot of urine drinking.
It's a lot more work.
It's just a lot of footwork.
So basically, the urine drinking really outweighs the high leaf eating.
This is the second episode we talked about drinking urine.
Yeah. Well, no, and again, I don't even think it's the good stuff, like the reindeer urine, you know what I mean? Like the good, that get you high, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think it just tastes like urine. Yeah. And you don't even,
and if
you
they
know?
Happen to be in heat, then it's going to be a messy day.
Yeah.
So, that is our show.
Sorry, people.
Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you guys learned a lot about
stuff.
Giraffe mating rituals, about world flags, about the Muppets. And you can find us on Zune Marketplace, on iTunes, on Stitcher, and on our website, which is goodjobbrain.com. And don't forget to go to Bonobos and check them out. They're our cool sponsors. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Spend less time staying in the know about all things gaming and more time actually watching and playing what you want with the IGN Daily Update podcast. All you need is a few minutes to hear the latest from IGN on the world of video games, movies, and television with news, previews, and reviews. So listen and subscribe to the IGN Daily Update wherever you get your podcasts. That's the IGN Daily Update wherever you get your podcasts.